Live from Houston, Texas, this is Big Ideas Small Business with your host, Laura Camrath and Brian Gendron. And now, the music of Max Flynn.
I'm starting to feel a little crazy again. I think it's time I start to pack my things.
All right. Welcome to Big Ideas Small Business, where we talk to thought leaders and try to inspire our audience by hearing about their big ideas. Laura Camrath, how are you today?
I'm doing awesome. How are you doing, Brian?
I am expecting a baby any minute.
you're almost dad squared, dad times two.
I know.
Baby number two on the way, huh?
This is baby number two, so I pick up Thomas after this podcast, and maybe it's tonight. Hopefully it's tonight.
My wife is very uncomfortable. Super exciting.
It is.
Are you just like, you know, are you super just anxious right now? How are you feeling?
I'm pretty good. It's 3.5 years since the last time I did this, so I've completely forgot.
Oh, no.
But it'll be good. We're doing it at home, and so it always makes for an interesting story, if nothing else.
Yeah. Well, I don't have any kids myself, but I watched my sister with her baby when he was born, and he's two now, and so props to you. It's a lot of work.
It is. Well, let's do this, Laura. I want to introduce our guest, and today we're joined by Keith Henry of Kick Street.
That's right.
Keith, how are you today?
I'm doing well. How are you all?
We're great. Thank you for joining us.
No, yeah, nice to meet you, Keith.
Nice to meet you as well, Laura. Mm-hmm.
So one of the things we like to do to get you introduced and our audience warmed up is to learn about a fun fact. Laura, you know anything fun about Keith?
Some little bird told me, his name might have been Brian, told me that Keith speaks Spanish.
Yes, I do. It was something that I always dreamt of doing as a young kid, only speaking English growing up. I always wanted to learn and just speak another language. Mm-hmm. So one time I got the opportunity to travel abroad to Buenos Aires, Argentina. Oh. And after graduating college, I sold everything I had and moved there to kind of fulfill my dream of learning another language. And I would say I accomplished it. Get a little rusty sometimes when I don't speak it, but for the most part.
Now, that seems like a big idea in itself.
It does. We're going to switch to subtitles, and you're just going to do the rest of this in Spanish. And Laura and I will look confused.
Yeah, I'll just say, hola.
Yeah, that's amazing. So how long did you live there for?
Close to about 3 years, from 2011 until 2014.
Wow, so that was kind of relatively recent.
Pretty much, yeah. Well, we all know time flies. So
yeah, time's flying. But
2019.
But that's awesome.
It flew by really fast. Who knows, one day I may end up back there.
Really?
So it's such a great experience.
So what would you say is your biggest takeaway from that experience?
Ooh, the biggest. I think the biggest is just having the exposure or gaining the exposure. And then once you gain more exposure, it's just you get enlightened to different things and just how the world works. You really
just
see
opens
how
your mind, right?
It opens your mind and your consciousness. Right, so
I'm going to tell you, Keith, one of the things that I think about is when my son is, you know, 17, 18, the expectation is, well, they're going to go to college. I think there's a lot of value into a gap year these days to do exactly what you're talking
about. Tremendous value. I think, like I said, just having that exposure, it would just amplify the education even more, because when you have an education, it's something, but having the exposure to give you more insight on how to apply the education, priceless.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I actually did a study abroad junior year in France, south of France, Montpellier.
Oh, nice.
And I actually, my undergrad degree was a double major in geology and French. And so I do still speak French, although everybody in Houston seems to speak Spanish, so I don't get as much opportunity to practice my French lately.
But
I would agree. It's just so eye-opening, and especially to learn another language where you can really see the differences in the culture and how the culture shapes the language and the language shapes the culture.
That's a really good point.
Yeah.
Somebody told me, they said, when you learn more than one language, you have more than one soul, and I could kind of see that.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool.
That's cool.
So, as I mentioned at the beginning, we like to break down a big idea. Yep. So when I said big idea, what first came to mind for you in your career or personally?
Big idea. I would have to say, Kick Street, the company that I'm running now. As we all know, whenever you get ready to start any business venture, it takes a lot out of you. It's a commitment that most are probably not ready for. So
is anyone really ever ready for that?
But when you think about it, you say, all right, well, if I were to go to medical school, it would take me, well, I don't know. If I want to be a doctor, it'd take me, I don't know, a long time, 10 years, 8 years.
Residency on top of the school and education and hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Yeah, a long time, right?
My wife's a doctor.
Okay, so you know. And, or a lawyer, to be a successful lawyer, it takes time, right? Or even an engineer, it's 5 years of school, then all the training you have to do just to become a good engineer, depending on the type of engineer. But what people don't realize is when you decide to be in business, it takes probably just as long, if not longer, just as being a doctor or a lawyer, because you have the beginning, the road bumps, the sacrifices, the hiccups. So by the time you actually know what you're doing, it's probably 10 plus, 15 plus years. Or you've probably been in the industry 20 years, then you went out on your own. So
and I say that you still have patients then, right? They're your customers.
exactly. So it's easy to start a business. You don't need any formal education like you do with a lawyer or a doctor.
$323. You can do it online with the state of Texas, and you're in business. You have an LLC.
But that's really not the truth.
Right.
That's an illusion, because it takes more than just getting out your bed to do a business. So I say that to say, anyone who says, well, I want to get in business, it is a big idea. I would say on the same lines of inventing something or curing something.
Because you did invent something. So tell us about Kick Street. Tell us about what you created, what you invented.
Well, I have to take you back to the beginning of Kick Street. And Kick Street started out as a sneaker platform. So I went to the University of Houston downtown. And at the time, Ken Jones was running the entrepreneurial program there. He actually ran it for a few years at U of H main campus. Yeah. And learned a lot there. And after that, that's when I moved to Argentina. And I decided to start Kick Street. This was back in 2008, 2009. And the goal was to bring all the fashionable sneakers to one platform. Hmm. So back then, you had an issue with buying sneakers online, whether you would get the shoe, whether it was authentic, whatever. And if you wanted casual sneakers to wear with maybe some chinos to dress up, or maybe on the weekends you wanted some shorts and you want some other kind of sneakers, it was hard to go to one store to find that. If you go to Foot Locker, they have a certain style. If you go to DSW, they have a certain style. If you go to Nordstrom Rack, they have a certain style. So my idea was to bring all the sneakers together that are fashionable so you can shop at one place. Little did I know the work that went into it. And so I was in Argentina at this time, and I was just learning about, you know, just business, e-commerce, marketing message, naming, a bunch of different things, you know, studying just pretty much the world of business and how to succeed in it. And it just didn't work out. You know, I had a partner at the time, and it was just tough. I think we made the mistake of not doing enough research of how to work with the sneaker stores and brands, and there was just some, not laws, but some things that the big brands did not allow for certain sneaker stores to do that we anticipated. Mm. Like, I think, for example, Nike says you can't sell online. Yeah, something in a contract. If you have a store, you can't sell online, or you can't sell it to a third party, something like that. So we didn't anticipate that. So we had to go back to the drawing board, and eventually, just didn't work out. But that didn't, that did not stop me. So I kept going. And I came back to the U.S. Around 2014, and I always wanted to create products. When I was 15, I actually created a product. It didn't go to market, and think it was just an idea that I had, and I really enjoyed it. Actually, also when I was 15, I created a clothing line. Didn't go anywhere. It was called Occur. Always keep it real. And a group of friends, we just decided to do something. We mocked up some designs and things, but that really didn't go anywhere. But back to the product. So I thought about this product called a traffic controller. This was before any smart anything, any smartphone, smartwatch, anything smart. And my idea was to create a device that knew which lanes needed to turn green, the light to turn green. So let's say you have some kind of meter on top of the street light, then it'll read the street light. It'll take the weight of the street and see, well, there's more people on this street, so let's make the light green for this amount of time versus just being on some kind of timer. Mm-hmm. I'm sure there's a lot of issues with that, but at the time, you know, it was a good idea, and I felt good about that. But I really enjoyed just thinking about something and using your imagination to bring something to life. Always fascinated me. And so when I came back in 2014, I was like, hey, I remember when I did this when I was 15. How about, you know, I figure out how to actually do it for real? Mm-hmm. So then Kick Street, we started, you know, creating products. We have a few products. We have one right now. We're trying to get into stores. Every product we create, we go to license the product. For example, one product right now that we have is called I'm Pretty Savvy. It's comparable to Taboo or Scattergory. It's one family party games. So that's how I got into the developing products and things.
So that's like a board game?
Yes, it's along the lines of a board game.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. And we've had you know many other ideas, and right now we're in the process of just managing our brands in-house. So while, like I was saying, while I was in Argentina and we had issues with Kick Street, that's when I learned how to create marketing messages and how important the identity is of a company. And that what inspired me to write a book on how to create a great business name, because I started helping others in Latin America with their business and with their marketing and with how to execute some of their marketing ideas.
So you were helping entrepreneurs in Argentina. Let me ask you, because I know you spent time around the canon, you spent time with people like Laura and I.
Yeah.
What is the difference between Argentinian entrepreneurs and U.S. entrepreneurs?
Whew, that's a really good question. I think definitely by far in the U.S., we are very aggressive when it comes to business, very focused on business. It's everything. In Argentina, it's not everything. It could be for some people, but it's more so I still want a balanced life. I still want to have enough time to enjoy with my friends, enjoy with my family. And I think here we will sacrifice more to find success than there.
That makes
like
sense.
A pot of gold, right?
Yeah.
In America.
Pretty much. But again, that could be an illusion too, right? Because sometimes, as we all know, once you fight for something for so long, let's say in this case success, it takes so much out of you. Once you get there, you kind of don't realize that you're there. You probably take it for granted.
So Kick Street has evolved over the
years. It has evolved. Like most businesses.
Yeah, right? And they should. And you have to adapt. And so it sounds as though you're doing products, also a bit of consulting, some brand identity, naming companies, those types of things.
Right. So, you know, Kick Street is fairly simple. And what we want to do, what I want to do personally, is do one thing. And that is to help people figure out where they fit in the world. And we do that by touching people's emotions. So if I work with a client, they say, hey, I need help with reaching my target audience. I want to know what is your identity so we could relay that message to your target audience. If I create a product, I want the people who use that product to feel something, to experience something. So from now to the future, whether we do movies or TV shows or create comic books, my end goal is to give that experience to touch somebody's emotions. And that's what Kick Street is about.
So when you work with clients, what types of services are you providing as a consultant?
Well, it really depends. Right. It depends on their need, depends on where they want to go. But I think the most important service that I want to provide to the client is figuring out who they are. Because once you know who you are, you know where you're going. And once you know your identity, it helps answer questions and make decisions. And I think a lot of times businesses try to reach a certain goal, but they're really not sure on who they are, really not clear on who they are. And I want to emphasize to a client how important it is to know who you are, because let me ask you this. How can you know your target audience if you don't know who you are? You may be targeting the wrong people. Right? And a lot of times that's what we do. We're targeting all of these people over here, but your audience may be way over there. And you really won't know that until you really figure out who you are.
I think we've done an episode back when it was just Laura and I. Remember when it was just us lonely
back
entrepreneurs back in the day? And it was one of the first ones was about dating and how finding your prospects is about dating. And I talk to a lot of young people, YPs, and I'm always like, you know, take your time to get married. Wait till you're 30. You don't know who you are until you're 30.
True.
So, Laura, you took my advice. And I get married maybe a month before I was 30, so I can somewhat drinking my own Kool-Aid. But isn't that so true? It's such a parallel of, you know who you are before you're going to find who your mate is or who your client is. It's absolutely so similar.
And once you know who you are, you're able to provide more value to them. And that's what you want to do, even in a relationship. You know, if I know who I am and I better understand who I am, I'm better to serve the other person.
Yeah.
And business is a relationship. And I think a lot of times we also forget that. It is. If you go to Walmart, you may go there for low prices. That's your relationship with Walmart. Definitely not customer service. If you go to Target.
I like those greeters.
Yeah. I show them my receipt when I'm walking out. And everything's fine. But if you want to go to Target, you say, well, I like Target because it's clean, it's different, you know, bang for your buck. Well, that's your relationship with Target. But you say, hey, man, you know, I want to spend X amount of dollars on, I don't know, a barbecue. You go to Walmart for that reason. But Walmart is clear about who they are. They will tell you, we are all about low prices.
Yeah.
Everything they do is about low prices. Everything they do is about getting you the lowest price possible. So they built a system. They built a business model and having the greeters and having the customer service that they have. But that is to give you that relationship of having low prices, and they would not have done that without being very clear on who they are. If you ever read Sam Walton's biography, he's very clear about low prices. He cared about customer service, and I think over the years, you know, it probably changed. But for the most part, he was clear about providing low prices. That was what they valued to the marketplace.
I think also, like, it's a really good point too, because sometimes we, as business owners, we have some really cool idea and we're like, oh, I'm going to make this. It's going to be really cool. Mm-hmm. But we don't go back and look at, you know, who we really are and who we really serve before we introduce it. So if we don't know who we really are and we don't know who we really serve, how can we make products or services that are going to really be of value to them?
That's a really good point. That's because when I talk about identity, there are some pillars to identity. And even when creating a name, I wrote a book on name, but you would believe that first thing I do to create a name is figure out the identity, because it's easy to name something if you know what it is. How can I name a chair if I don't know what it is?
Can you help me name my kid? Any hour now.
Any hour now. Well, the easiest thing is for you to think about, well, who do you envision, you know, your kids? Is it going to be a boy or a girl?
See, that's the hard part.
That's the hard part.
We don't know yet.
I forgot about that.
Yeah. So it's either Evelyn, Patrick, or Andrew, or Joseph. There's three boys' names. So if it's a boy, we got to understand their identity. Do you have any tricks to figure that out pretty fast?
You could have just picked Pat.
Yeah.
And then it would have been okay either way.
It's Pat.
So, honey, if you're listening, it's just Pat.
that's funny. But the pillars that I created for an identity, a strong identity. You just don't want identity. You want a strong identity. You want people to recognize you, right? Like we talk about big brands. They have strong identities. It's vision, purpose, core values, and standards. And I always start with vision, because for me, vision is the foundation of identity. You have to know where you're going. And I know vision is generic. You read a book, you go, I don't know, read a magazine, everybody talks about vision. But I want to talk about the importance of vision and why it is the foundation of your identity. Because without vision, you can end up anywhere. Imagine if you were asking, if you asked the captain of a ship, like, hey man, where you going? He or she says, I don't know. You'll end up anywhere. Right. And that's a lot of time what we do with our business. Like, hey, where you going? I don't know. On top of that, we have all of these distractions. Chasing that, chasing this, we're doing this, we're doing that.
Kids.
Friends, family, a lot of distractions. Yeah. And we have to manage those distractions better. Your kids, your friends, your family, business partners, whatever. But once you have that clear vision, you're able to, let's say, defragmentize your brain and make better decisions to manage these distractions.
Having a kid is a really valid discussion point, because I'm going to tell you why. Mm-hmm. Whenever we think of business ideas, we have to name it right away. But I think Keith's got a really valid point in that shouldn't you already know what your vision is, your mission, your core values before you try to name this thing? We just do this backwards and blow millions and millions of dollars on rebrands and confuse the market because we just think about it backwards. We're like, well, is the .com available? You know, it's really irrelevant.
That's a good point, though.
So, yeah, but yes, let's check.
I have some solutions to if you can't find the right domain. But that is a really good point that you bring up. And I can't say that my process is, it's empirical, right? I think it'll help. Mm-hmm. Right? I think if you understand your vision, if you understand your purpose, if you understand who you are, then just like you as a person, right, that's your identity and that's your name. Your name is worth, could be worth billions. Right? Think about Chick-fil-A. If they were in the red every year, right, they were losing money. Let's say they got a bad deal on chicken.
Have to open on Sunday.
Right, yeah, they have to open on Sunday. They're like, yeah, well, okay, we're doing bad. Their name is worth who knows how much. Somebody else can come in and say, you know what, I can fix that problem that you're having. And keep the same name, you have the goodwill. Mm-hmm. And your company's still worth billions, even though you're losing money. And that's what I want to advocate with the name is take care of your name, just like you take care of your credit. Mm-hmm. Like, take care of your name is like you take care of your family name. Because with your business, if you take care of your name, that's money you're leaving on the table. Because if you look at a balance sheet, it has goodwill on an asset side. It's an intangible asset. A lot of times we forget that. And like I said, when you get ready to sell your company, you can use that goodwill, your intangible assets, to raise a dollar amount. And that could be anything. I can say my company is worth a million. You can say, well, it's not. We can go toe to toe and battle like that. You know how I feel and how you feel. But nonetheless, I probably can back that up and say, hey, this company is worth this based on the value that it has in the marketplace, the people that my customer base.
Yeah.
So I think a name, it does that. And also a name, it helps build a relationship with the marketplace and with your customers.
There's another side to it too, which is naming products and services. Like I look at my company KnockServe today and now 2 years in, I'm like, that's more of a product name. So then it gives me an opportunity then to back out, rebrand, think about who we are, and then make that a product potentially.
So I
say that because there's an exercise where we always have the opportunity to name products and subsidiaries and those things. So if you've named it wrong from the beginning, or rather if it's not the perfect name, then maybe you try to apply that to a product or a service.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. And some names are going to change. Obviously, you can't get the name right the first time, and that's okay. But back to vision, right? What's important is your vision.
Yeah.
Right? Because once you have vision, you set goals. If I don't have a vision, how can I create a goal? It's real hard, because then I'll just be doing anything.
Yeah.
But once I have a vision, I am clear. This is how I get from point A to point B.
Yeah.
And I'm able to alleviate. You probably can't get rid of your kid being a distraction, but you can alleviate other distractions to help you reach that goal.
So do you have anything that you work with your customers on if they don't feel like they have vision? What happens if they don't know what their vision is?
Wow. Really good questions here. And it's real tough, right? Because it takes time.
Mm-hmm.
Typically, we think that, just come up with it overnight, but that's not the case. I do have somewhat of a process to really think about where you want to go and who are you, and to don't put no pressure on them to come up with one. Just really think about how do you envision your business? How do you envision your employees? How do you envision your life? And then once you start thinking about those things, you get to see your vision. But I also believe that vision produces purpose, right?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you may feel strongly about something. You may have a strong purpose. And I'm not talking about to make money. Everybody who's in business has to make money. That's a no-brainer, right? But we make money based on the value we provide to the marketplace. I think our purpose has to be a little bit deeper. I think our purpose is the value we provide to the marketplace. And if you kind of know that, then you can kind of go back and say, okay, well, let me see what my vision is, because the vision and purpose are going to run parallel to some degree.
Mm-hmm.
And then if not, if you're still clear on your purpose, you're like, I just want to make some money, then think about some of the things that you value. And those are my favorite, talking about core values, because you know, we all value things, but we really don't take the time to really pinpoint what is it that you value. I don't mean to put you on the spot, but if I ask you, what do you value in your business, what would you say?
Yeah, so our biggest value in the market is that we are straight up problem solvers. Either we have a plan, or either we figure out your problem today, or we go to sleep with a plan to figure it out tomorrow. And those are the people that we need to have in our organization, because we fix IT problems, right? So that's very, very important, because that's really what our clients are asking of us. I got this annoying IT problem. You promised to make it go away. Make it go away.
Okay.
Right. So that's core to what we, our service.
So problem solving.
That's correct.
And the reason why is problem solving, because for the client?
It's for the client, but you have to understand the engineers, it's just how their mind works. They can't rest until they've got it figured out. And so it's for them too. Mm-hmm. And they enjoy that work. And so when I identify and meet those people in the market, I will pay a little higher to get them on board, because it's a good value exchange both ways.
Okay. So when you solve a problem, how do you think the client feels? And if it was done, I guess in a good amount of time.
Right. Yeah, if they felt like we've met their expectation. A lot of times the unfortunate part about my industry is they don't even know we solved it. They're just like, why am I paying these guys every month? Nothing's going wrong. It's like, that's why you pay us. That's the reason you're paying us. So, but look, if it's a high visible problem and we fix it quickly, then they feel very satisfied. They feel like they're getting good value.
You don't ever start breaking stuff visibly just so you can show them that you're fixing
that's
it.
A strategy, Laura. That's a strategy.
Let's break this real quick and just fix it real fast.
The good news is that people in companies who use technology just tend to break it themselves. So we'll always be in business.
So what I gather from you and hearing you talk about, you valuing problem solving, I want to go deeper and really think about, that's good, but it sounds like if we start really pulling back those layers and going down to your core, we would realize that possibly you also value that customer feeling satisfied,
right?
Them coming to you. So now I want to say everything you do, that customer needs to feel that satisfaction. So what you really value is the customer satisfaction, making them feel satisfied, or probably going the extra mile. Because to solve a problem, you have to go the extra mile.
Right,
I'm sure you do.
Yeah,
right.
Even all the time.
And if they're not, if they don't know that the problem is being solved, you definitely go an extra mile, because now you're dealing with them, not knowing. Mm-hmm. So I think probably even saying, "Well, going the extra mile is something that you value." And once you start thinking like that, you're conscious of, "Hey, I go the extra mile." Everything you do,
right?
You go the extra mile. Now that fits in your business model.
That's right.
How you hire people, how you walk, how you talk. When you're marketing, when you have a marketing message, it's going to be around those things that you value. So that's why I say core values are real important, because once you start pinpointing what you value, you really get to see who you are in your character, because you have to be consistent.
Yeah.
That's right. If I say I'm a nice person, I value being nice, right? I have to do nice things, right? Right? Mm-hmm. If I say I'm a nice person, I don't know, I push somebody.
And then you scream at somebody on
the phone. what would that do? That would probably lower my credibility.
Right.
Same thing in business. We say, oh yeah, I value customer service. You call the 1-800 number, press 1, press 2, press 3, press 8. You finally talk to somebody. They got an attitude. It hangs up. You got to do it all again.
Mm-hmm.
But they value customer service. Right? It's not consistent. And when it's not consistent, what that does, it affects trust. Because things are, we have to know what to expect. So if you have a character, if you have a strong identity, I'm going to know what to expect. For example, if I go to McDonald's, let's say I don't like McDonald's, and I'm in France. I'm in France, and I'm like, I don't want to try that French stuff for whatever reason. Let me go to McDonald's. Even though I don't like McDonald's, I will go because at least I know what I'm going to get. Mm-hmm. I know that they're going to burn my fries. I know the hamburger's not going to be good, but I know. So we trust things that we know, and we trust things when we know that we're going to expect something, we trust that. And that's another reason why identity is important, because you want your customers, you want the marketplace to know when they see your name or hear your name, they're going to know what they're going to get. You want them to know they're going to get you going the extra mile. In my case, they're going to know that they're going to get somebody who wants to touch their emotions. So, and I think making everything full circle, the identity is important, I mean, not only for the vision, the purpose, and the core values and the standards, but it's important because it breeds and it builds trust. Right. And that's what we talk about, relationships. Yeah. Business is based on relationships. And trust is at the epic center of a relationship. Once you lose trust, it's very hard. That's why businesses, when they do something wrong, they spend billions of dollars, if they have the money, to rebuild the trust within the marketplace for their audience.
Mm-hmm. That's very valid. This is all really good content for anybody who's listening, especially people who have not acted on their big idea yet. They're thinking about it. This is all really good stuff. Yeah. It moves the start line from where we think it is to where it really is. So.
Yeah. Especially, you know, I think a lot of us as entrepreneurs, we have so many responsibilities and many irons in the fire, and we're thinking about so many different things. We can tend to forget about the very foundation of what we're doing.
Yeah, and that's true, and that's part of the struggle. I'm saying this like it's easy to do, but it's not. It's hard to manage these things, and it takes time to think about these things. And one thing I can say to, let's say, somebody who's at home and they're thinking about, okay, I want to start this business. I have this big idea. How do I move forward? Yeah, I can have a vision. I can have these values. I can have this purpose, and I can have standards. When I talk about standards, standards are the things that enforce your core values. So you say you go the extra mile. That can mean, well, for us to go the extra mile, we stay until the job is done, whatever. You got to have something to enforce your values. So the people at home or the people who are thinking about taking that big step of executing my idea, these things are great, but nonetheless, you still have to have some kind of fortitude. You still have to have some perseverance in order to make all of this happen.
So
it's easy to say, but it's you got the recipe, but it's different when you're in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, with the pots and pans, trying to make it a reality.
Well, that's it. So. Well, I could go on this all day, but I'm about to have a baby. I didn't get the text, but we do have to think about a few things before we go.
Okay.
You mentioned Sam Walton's book, the autobiography.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any other books or readings aside from your own, How to Create a Great Business Name, that we'd recommend?
Yes. I think the one thing I would like to recommend is the Little Red Selling Book. I think it's 12.5
principles. Oh, I have that.
You
have
it?
Yeah.
Little Red Selling Book,
yeah.
Right? I think the author's name is Jeffrey Gittimore.
Yeah. I think it's called A Little Red Book of Selling.
That's probably it. Sorry for chopping the name up.
Oh, it's all good. I'll put it in the show notes.
Yeah.
We'll get it right there.
I think anybody starting in business, it start with that. A lot of business is selling, and it's probably not as somebody would anticipate as far as knocking on somebody's door and say, hey, you want to buy this vacuum? Sales is about relationships. Sales is about providing value. And that book is really good to pick up for any seasoned professional or anyone just starting out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What?
How about software apps?
Yeah, so we have a tech for granted. Do you have a software or technology in your business that really helps you do what you do?
Or personally.
Or personally.
Okay, I like Asana, A-S-A-N-A. It's great for managing multiple projects. So that's been helping me tremendously. I like to stay organized, and I think if you're thinking about getting into business, it's good to stay organized, and Asana does a great job of that.
Yeah.
And it's free. You can have the paid version, but the free version gives you a lot of flexibility.
Yeah, I've used Asana. Yeah. I use Teamwork, too, is another one.
I've heard of Teamwork, but Asana has been so well, it's hard for me to switch. I've seen a few others related to project management software.
I've also seen recently Facebook has released something for businesses called Workplace, and it kind of looks like Facebook, but it's really just for interaction with internal groups and teams. And
okay, yeah, I know.
That's kind of cool,
check that
too.
Out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, good stuff. So two quick things. What's next for Kick Street, and then where do people find you?
Okay. So. Well, first, people will find me at keith@kickstreet.com, and if anybody who's interested in my book, I'll give you a free digital copy. It has a 5-star rating on Amazon. It's been bought by universities in the U.S. and community colleges. But I have a free digital copy for anyone who wants it. One's coming to you.
I got one.
It only talks about a business name. It talks about how to maintain a great image. Talks about identity. So just email me, Keith, that's K-E-I-T-H, @kickstreet.com, and I will be sure to send that to you. You just have to say, hello, Keith, send me the book, and it'll get over to your way. And Kick Street, like I said before, we're just about helping people figure out where they fit in the world and touching people's emotions. And who knows, one day we may be, I don't know, in the hotel business doing that. So, or creating movies.
Awesome.
That's great.
Good. Thanks so much, Keith.
Yeah, well, Keith, we really appreciate you having you on and joining us today, and a lot of good stuff for our audience. So.
Thank you. Thank you all.
Central Texas rains, the strongest drink I've found.
Thank you for listening to Big Ideas Small Business. Follow us at BISB Media and visit our website at www.bisbmedia.com.